we go. Hello, and welcome to a Vashon Minute, where we take a look at one island issue or one island person at a time. Opinions expressed on a Vashon Minute are those of the participants and do not reflect the opinions of anyone associated with Voice of Vashon. I'm Linda Nygaard, your host for this episode, and today we're going to learn about Vashon Repertory Theater's upcoming production of The Story of Edgar Sawtelle. With me in the studio is Charlotte Tinkin. Hi, Charlotte.
Hello, Linda.
Charlotte is the founder and co- and artistic director of Vashon Repertory Theater. Also, by phone from Seattle today, we have Book It Repertory Theater's founding co-artistic director, Jane Jones, who is directing The Story of Edgar Sawtelle for Vashon Repertory Theater. Good morning, Jane.
Good morning.
I guess we should say good afternoon, good morning, hello.
Yeah. Sure.
Welcome, Charlotte and Jane. I'm really glad that you're here, and there's so much to talk about. I'd also like to welcome our listeners. Hi, everybody. So The Story of Edgar Sawtelle runs at Vashon Center for the Arts from Friday, October 11th through Sunday, October 20th.
Correct.
2024.
Yes.
And you can find tickets at Vashon Center for the Heart for the Arts.org. So to start off our discussion, Jane, could you talk a little bit about the relationship and the intersection of Seattle's Book It Theater and Vashon Repertory Theater, sort of how that came to be and your role in both?
Sure, absolutely. I'd say this whole enterprise began with Charlotte and I, and Charlotte and Book It Repertory Theater. When Charlotte came on board as our managing director, and Charlotte, you got to help me with this. Dates are a little sketchy, but I think it was about 15 years ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And and then she was our managing director for 8 years. But at the time, as Charlotte and I were getting to know each other, and she was just this beacon of a vision for Book It and helped move the company in so many directions that we were ready to, but we just hadn't had that strong leadership until Charlotte came on board as managing director. That Christmas, she gave me a book. And that book was The Story of Edgar Sawtelle.
Mm.
And we all acknowledging at that point in time that we were dog mamas, papas, brothers, sisters. And it was just one of those books that really talked to the soul of what it is, the intersection between human beings and dogs. And then it just, and at the time, the book was very well read in Seattle. And it was talked about a lot, and it was a new voice, particularly for dogs, mm-hmm. I thought. And so it was just one of those books that made the rounds. And then eventually, it was kind of like years later, I had said to Charlotte and to Myra, my co-artistic director, I said, someday we need to tackle this story. We need to adapt this book. And so fast forward 11 years, and it was just at the time when Myra and I were stepping down from our administrative jobs, and the inherent job of artistic directors at Book It Repertory Theater, even though it had always been it had always been planned that we would always be continuing artists. We were about to stage The Story of Edgar Sawtelle, and that was going to be the last play that I adapted and directed, adapted with Kevin McEwen, kind of as a love story of dogs and people to the Seattle community. Well, we were in rehearsal. It was March 2020, and everybody remembers the date of March 13th, 2020. The whole world stopped in its tracks, and
yeah.
So we were just days away from going into rehearsal. We'd had several workshops. Music was being composed. Designs had been made. I mean, the whole thing really was just the abort button. And so anyway, and that's where it stood for a long time. And then out of circumstances that we don't really need to go into, but unfortunate and sad, Book It closed its doors in 2023 of June.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And at that time, Charlotte reached out to Myra and I in her grieving, as was so much of the Seattle community after a 30-year legacy of contributing art to the Puget Sound region. She said, what can I do? What can I do? I want to continue. Book it. And then, Charlotte, why don't you take it from there?
Yeah, Charlotte, can you tell us about how this idea germinated to bring Edgar Sawtelle to Vashon?
Well, Vashon Repertory Theater is in its fifth season. It was founded during COVID.
Mm-hmm, I remember that.
And so we started doing, you know, streaming events and didn't do live theater for a while until we kind of got to where we felt comfortable doing it. And then we did outside performances. And now we have a season that is basically from September to May. So I had heard that Book It had closed. I was really upset about it. I called Jane and Myra and said, tell me what happened. And we talked through it all. And then I said, okay, let's figure out a way to bring Book It back, at least some, do some
mm-hmm.
shows.
Mm-hmm.
So I made a decision that this season, the 24-25 season, we would do a Book It show. And I told Jane, I said, okay, what do you want to do? And she said, well, Edgar Sawtelle, because it was all ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the cast had been cast, everything had been done. It was just sitting there. So that's how we did it. Jane was fortunate enough to bring back almost the entire cast from March of 20.
That's what I was going to ask next, is your cast set from the previous cast?
We have 50% back.
Okay.
Actually, it's just a little more, like 53% of a cast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, good.
Yeah, and that's fantastic because those four-plus members, they had been through the workshop process. They had already contributed over almost a year period of workshops and readings to the Book It adaptation. And Book It is very collaborative in our adaptations. We invite all the artists involved to come in and we look at the story together, and we all figure out how much of the story needs to be put into an adaptation to be able to represent it with respect and perspective for the novel itself.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, you already touched on this, but given that Vashon Island is an island that loves its dogs,
yeah.
And without giving away too much, it's been frequently said that the story is loosely based on a Shakespeare Hamlet. And in reading it, I see treachery and deceit and murder and betrayals and all the good things that we want to see in a good play. Is there anything you can tell me about the cast of characters and their names as relative to Hamlet?
Hamlet?
Yeah.
Sure. It just so happens that the person who walks into the plot of Hamlet by the name of Claudius is a character that walks into Edgar Sawtelle by the name of Claude.
Okay.
It just so happens that a character of the mother of Edgar, whose name is Gertrude in Hamlet, her name in Wisconsin in the Heartland is Trudy.
Oh, yeah.
You're starting to understand. The king of Denmark, whose name was Hamlet, is called Gar in this production, and his son is named Edgar.
Edgar, so yes.
I hate to give it away.
Yeah, don't give it away.
Time, well, you know, everybody knows the destiny of what happens
mm-hmm.
in Hamlet. I mean, you know, it's a beautiful story. It's a beautiful piece of literature. It's probably one of the greatest pieces of literature ever penned in the English language.
Right.
But at the same time, you know, with tragedy comes a sense of empathy and compassion. And I think David Wroblewski, by bringing in the focus of a major dog's point of view into this story.
Mm-hmm.
And so that person, that dog's name, a female dog by the name of Almandine, she represents both Horatio and Ophelia.
Okay.
Well, yeah, and so, you know, it goes, I mean, other than that, he does go off on his own plot points and things. But,
mm-hmm.
but nonetheless, it is a story of family, betrayal, power,
mm-hmm.
Questing, It's packed full of plot.
So I have another question, just a general question. Is this play suited for children?
I wouldn't say somebody under the age of, although children are so brilliant these days.
Right.
I mean, you know, and their capacity for understanding so many things. I mean, look at the world as it has changed since the 21st century. I mean, there's kids, the younger generation has had to live through so much, and much more so than when I was growing up, you know. And so I think that the exposure, I think we can't underestimate the exposure that children have, especially through social media and radio and TV and movies. So I don't think there's anything, you know, no knives come out and no throats are
And there's cut. No blood.
And there's no blood.
Yeah.
And also, a lot of what it's going to be on stage is old-fashioned book it style. I mean, you know, we're miming a lot of stuff, so it doesn't necessarily have that immediate trigger.
Well, this brings up another question I have. You just mentioned old-fashioned book it style. Tell me about that.
Well, when we got going with this, you know, so many decades ago now, it wasn't it was truly in an effort and a desire to make sure that language was received by hearing audiences, that the power of language, how far it can take you into another world, how much it can elicit in terms of using our own imaginations, was gently and maybe then really quickly being transferred into visuals and, stage productions, you know, more and more money was being spent on special effects and just that sense of sitting and receiving a story was, I use this word just because it was the way it was affecting me. I felt like my senses were being hijacked.
Oh, sure.
You know, and at the time I was like, my God, how can we just, and then at the same time, the Royal Shakespeare Company came to Manhattan. I was living in Manhattan at the time when I dreamed up this whole idea for Book It. And the Royal Shakespeare came, and the power of listening to that incredible, you know, group of actors speaking the words with such enthusiasm and such clarity. And I was just like, okay, all right, everything, all the great stories have been a lot. Many of the great stories have been written. And what happens if we just take the narrative text, use it in a different manner, make it dialectic in terms of the way the actors speak it to each other, inner monologue, all kinds of things, without just standing in front of an audience and narrating.
Thank you.
And so, that is what has nationally and even internationally, we hear from people, of the Book It style. And of course, you know, Nicholas Nickleby was doing it back when, but even they didn't quite get on the same train as the way Book It developed. So I know a lot of people think it's annoying, but a lot of people also cherish the fact that, you know, we're, I think this what we're doing at Bash on Rep goes back to the days before we grew our budgets, even that we capitulated to that, even as a company. And now we're, I just feel like this is a return to the original mission.
Style.
To inspire our audiences to read.
Charlotte,
something I am so excited about is that because to me, I feel like the power of theater is the spoken word.
Exactly.
And being able to sit as an audience member and just listen to what's being said.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved Edgar Sawtelle, the book. The novel is just incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And I think anytime you read a novel and then get to hear it spoken out loud, it's kind of stunning. I mean, I can remember sitting in in a rehearsal with the author when we did The Highest Tide by Jim Lynch,
okay.
who happens to live here on Vashon. I remember sitting in the rehearsal hall with Jim the first time he was seeing a rehearsal. And he stood there. He sat there with his jaw agape the entire time. He couldn't believe it. He just couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
And
you know what, Linda, I remember what he said. He said, "It's like you all just crawled into my brain."
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's how it is. I mean, it's like suddenly you get to see what the images of what the book, the novel was in your head. You get to see it on stage. And it's just so beautiful.
Charlotte, this reminds me of your mission with Vashon Repertory Theater to bring relevant theater. Can you talk a little bit about that? I'd like to hear a little bit more about Vashon Repertory Theater's mission in bringing these types of plays.
Sure. Well, I've been doing theater since I was 7 years old, and I really believe in bringing this story to life so that there's stories to be told. And theater is the way, in my opinion, to make those stories come to life. I can remember sitting in the theater. The first time I went to New York, I saw one of the first plays that I saw on Broadway was For Colored Girls Who Have Considered Suicide When the Rainbow Is Enough.
Oh.
I couldn't talk after that play was done. I sat there just with tears just streaming down my face, and I just thought, this is incredible.
It's powerful.
And to me, that's the power of theater. To be able to, because I'm not a black woman. I'm a white woman from the South. And here I was watching this play about the black experience, black women's experience, and it just so moved me that I couldn't breathe barely at the end. And so to be able to step into somebody else's shoes like that and see their life from their perspective, to me, that's what theater's all about.
That's beautiful. I love that. And storytelling is kind of a lost art in our modern society. Things have become very short, very quippy, very social media. And as Jane said, the special effects and that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
So this is good old-fashioned theater with powerful storytelling.
Yeah.
Is there... Jane, I'm curious about directing, and I have a couple questions in that regard. When you're directing a play like this, do you rely on actors' instincts? Is it something that you try to impart to them? And does the direction change as the play evolves and you see what the actors are actually doing and saying?
Oh, God, absolutely. And having come from my career, my directing career, I've been directing now for decades, but before that, I acted for decades, I continued to act until Book It really became the responsibility of running a not-for-profit is mighty, and doing all the fundraising and just wearing so many hats and having a staff and managing and connecting with your public. And it just became, when I was acting at Book It, I would go into the dressing room and go, oh my gosh, nobody cleaned the dressing room. I better clean the dressing room before the show tonight. And then I just realized, golly, this is too much. It just became overwhelming. What my job is to know where I want and how I want the story to be told. My gift is giving that responsibility to the actor.
Oh, that's wonderful. I love
and
that.
And then saying, you bring in, now you fill it in with your own personal association. You come in. I mean, I'm a pushover in a rehearsal room, quite honestly, in that if an actor, I never want to say no to an actor.
Right.
If they want to stand on their head naked and deliver a monologue, I want to say, let's try it, because eventually the actor will go, that's probably not the best choice.
Right, right.
But at the same time, I also don't want them to go, I feel like it's a gift that I give to them. And it happened to me at the Guthrie Theater years ago, and a great director, Garland Wright, directing me in Cecily and the Importance of Being Earnest. And I came in there and I was going to be like this Cecily that nobody had ever seen before. Mm. You know, I was just going to be. And he just said to me in the first rehearsal, Jane, stop.
Oh.
Just hold on. He said, what you're working on right there will not work for the Cecily that I have in my mind for this production. I cast you, Jane, because I want Jane's Cecily.
Oh, yes, yes. It's very... go ahead.
Yeah, no, it was just such a wow. You know, it was just such a... And I actually said it to one of our cast members just 2 days ago in rehearsal. You know, it's just like you're working really hard here, whereas you are enough. And that is something that directors mm-hmm. say to actors all the time. Mm-hmm. You are enough, you know. And it just gives an actor permission to research and dive into a world of personal emotion and happenstance and then bring it to the stage.
Oh, so, that's wonderful.
Yeah, I mean, an actor came in the other day and said, no, I don't want to move upstage there. I'd like to try it over here. And I was like, oh, so glad you brought in an idea.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. Know? Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's truly
do it with that,
it's but. Truly a collaborative effort on everybody's
Absolutely.
Part.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
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 So yeah. I think Charlotte, is there anything else that you would like? Oh, I know. I had a question. Talk about the music a little bit. Is there music in the play?
There is. And I'll let Jane talk about
okay.
it. My wonderful friend Ed Key, who I've known forever,
yes.
is doing the music live on stage. And I'm so excited that he's to be working with him again because it's been many,
yes.
many years, which is really fun. But Jane, you talk about Anastasia and your
yeah,
relationship
so,
with her.
Anastasia Workman, who is a working composer, musician, she has given this community so much. She was the composer and musician in residence for Cafe Nordo from the time it opened until the time it closed during COVID. And so back 4 years ago, Anastasia, she composed several scores for Book It Repertory Theater. And so when we were working on Sawtelle, I brought Anastasia on board.
Mm.
And then, of course, the whole thing ended. And it also, it took us a while to get reorganized with the rights and stuff because, you know, force majeure had closed down Sawtelle, and it wasn't our fault that we didn't do it 4 years ago, but just getting back on board with being able to do it and change venues and change production companies
sure.
and then go back to the cast and the design team and say, who can still come on board?
Mm-hmm.
But Anastasia had already written music for the production. And so I wanted to bring her on as the, you know, composer, musician, and she just has other things that are in her life now that prohibited her from being able to be in the rehearsal hall on a regular basis. And I went through the Rolodex of my brain just trying to think who can we bring? And
mm-hmm.
all of a sudden it was just like Ed Key popped into my brain. The two of them met. They get along famously. Anastasia is in the rehearsal room with us, with Ed. I mean, several times now, but we're only at the end of our second week.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a match made in heaven between those two.
I'm so pleased to know that. We're so excited to see the final production. It's going to be really fun too.
I always love when there's music live on stage.
I do too. It makes such a difference.
It's a huge difference.
Charlotte, you'll probably remember. It really busted Book It's budget over the years.
Oh, that.
You know, because it was automatic. We were just mm-hmm. going to have live music.
Yeah.
And then eventually it was just one of those things where, you know, we capitulated into the norm of how we could, you know, how we could continue to create and make this art and with the extreme rise and what it cost, you know, the elevation of cost
mm-hmm.
to produce live theater. I mean, we used to when we started at adaptation, we wrote down 14 characters.
Wow.
We had 14 characters in all of our productions for years. And then it was like, well, what can we do with 10 people? What can we do with 9 people? What can we do with 4 people? I mean, you know, and it's just, unfortunately, it is the way it is, but I hope that syndrome will we'll come. I hope that we'll be able to retire that, and it will be recovered, and mm-hmm. we can start producing theater again, where we can tell bigger stories.
Big stories.
We have more artists involved.
Yeah. Well,
and Charlotte's paying all of the artists. I mean, every person that's working on this show is getting paid, which is phenomenal.
That's a wonderful thing to know. That's a wonderful thing. Yeah.
And we have 9 actors. And Charlotte, I don't know how big is our staff for this. Probably going on about 20 people, right?
Probably.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I know I, for one, am so looking forward to seeing the play actually come to life and to hear the story and to watch everybody do what everybody's doing. And, you know, from an audience perspective, we don't really know what goes on in the background and what you're doing and how this story unfolds. And so I would just like to thank both of you so much for coming today and for talking about Vashon Repertory Theater. Again, the story of Edgar Sawtelle runs at Vashon Center for the Arts from Friday, October 11th through Sunday, October 20th. And you can find tickets at VashonCenterForTheArts.org. Is there anything else either of you would like to say in closing today?
Woof, woof.
Oh,
woof, woof. Yes, dogs and Vashon.
Dogs and Vashon. But if you get a call from Jill B. or Charlotte Pinkin, and it says, we're looking for this and we're looking for that, or we're looking for this and we're looking for that, just community, you can become a part of this production.
It's true. And, you know, I know Jill B. Jill Bulow is
she's my go-to prop person.
My goodness. And she's so busy procuring just the right thing for just the right situation.
She
so,
can always find it.
Yeah, she can. So, yes, it is a good way to keep the community involved. And, again, thank you so much for coming. And thank you, listeners, for sharing this minute.
I have one more thing. Just because this is Charlotte, this is a big step forward with risk for Vashon Repertory Theater. Mm-hmm. And if you go on Vashon Repertory Theater's website, there's a little red button, and it spells out a word that says donate.
Oh, yes.
And by all means, anything and anyone has, you know, that they can give towards this production will be hugely we will appreciate it so much.
Thank you.
And we will put your money to a good place for bringing this art to Vashon.
Thank you so much, Jane, for saying that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So at this point, I will bid you adieu. Thank you again. And we'll see you around the village and on stage.
Yes, you will.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you for listening to A Vashon Minute.